both hailing from parts unknown at a combined weight of 501 pounds. They are the Morning Rush Hour World Tag Team Champions. They have no fear, no back down, just a couple of gutsy guys. No one will take those MRH World Tag titles from these men. It's Taz, it's the Moose, illustrious champions, right here every day on CBS Sports Radio.
You know it's every day, Moose and Taz be paving the way. Talking about every sport, you know that they never missing a play. From the NBA to the NFL, the college games, they always bringing the knowledge, nobody ever can try to go stop it. Only me talking the truth, only me talking the truth, ayy.
All right, it's Taz and the Moose with you here on this Friday morning. Thank God it's Friday. Good Friday, one and all. We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studio, who understands that it's not just a mortgage, it's your mortgage. That's the difference. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. You've got Mike and Pete across the way, Bogish with your updates to 9 a.m. Eastern time. We go. We got college picks, NFL picks coming your way as well. And maybe a little return of a commodity to the show as well.
I heard a rumor about it.
Yes. So look forward to that, too. But we kick off this hour talking a little National Football League, the Week 4 Sunday. That will be across the National Football League, and a lot of interesting storylines going on. You know, out in Indianapolis, a lot of Colt fans, Taz, when Andrew Luck decided to call it a career and go into retirement at 29 years of age, there were a number of Colt fans that decided to, or there were a number of Colt fans that wanted to get their season ticket money back. And they were upset and ticked off and bothered. And I wonder how those guys and gals are feeling right now as the Colts are a 2-1 football team. They get set to entertain the Oakland Raiders. They should win the game on Sunday. The Raiders are a terrible road team, and we all understand Gruden has struggled in his return to the NFL sidelines as a head coach, and Jacoby Brissett has played very, very well. Ballard's done a nice job of building up that offensive line. That defense is legit as well. They can run it. They've got weapons, losing T.Y. Hilton last week due to injury, and still were able to thwart the comeback of the Atlanta Falcons in Indy and find a way in at a big third and short conversion on a brilliant play call late in that game to seal the deal and run out the clock. Now, it's a good Colt team. I'm not telling you that Jacoby Brissett is as dynamic at the quarterback spot as Andrew Luck, but I would imagine they're going to get themselves to 3-1 on Sunday through the first quarter of the season. I don't know many people who had the Colts at 3-1 after the retirement of Andrew Luck.
No, I agree. Everything you're saying. I mean, they're -7 in the game, so you know, I think they're going to not only going to win. I think they're definitely going to. You know, I think they're going to cover. I guess it's clicking in well with Brissett. I mean, I don't think we're, like you're kind of saying, we're not super shocked because, you know, Andrew Luck did miss a lot of stuff in preseason, all that jazz, and didn't do much. So Brissett was working with all the starters anyway. But, I mean, yeah, the kid's been playing really well. And that Raider team, I don't know what's going on there. They're 1-2 right now. And you're right, Gruden, since he's back, I mean, and they spent a lot of money, a lot of weapons, all this stuff, and I don't know, they got to figure something out there. But I thought they'd be better than this early, the Raiders. I did.
I wasn't so sure about Oakland. I don't think Gruden's got his quarterback. I don't think he's necessarily a big Derek Carr believer. They were bought in and sold on Antonio Brown. We know how that ended up in being a disaster, Taz. And they made some key mistakes early on with the trading of Khalil Mack and not being able to rectify that and dealing him to the Chicago Bears, the lack of pass rush. I mean, there's a lot going wrong in Oakland, and it's going to take Gruden some time, and he's got plenty of time because he's got 8 years after this year left on that contract. So John Gruden's got all the time in the world to rectify that. But, yeah, they're not a good team, and I think Frank Reich deserves a lot of credit. If the Colts continue to play well and they have a really good year, he's going to be up for Coach of the Year honors because I think to handle that, to lose a franchise quarterback and have Brissett step in, and even though they liked him, Taz, to have him step in and play as well as he has, and if he continues to play well, I think the head coach deserves a lot of credit because I think Reich's done a masterful job.
Absolutely. He has done a great job, Reich, and he has because, you know, you're really up against it. And, you know, they got a really good offensive line and a guy who's a two-year pro, I think, now, Quentin Nelson. He gets lost. Great player. Lost in a shuffle because he's a guard, you know, but – but he is a great player. They got Costanzo there at left tackle, really good tackle. So, you know, they got a good old line, man, and Max run the ball pretty good, and defensively they're pretty stout. So I mean, yeah, no, they look good, man, and you're right, you got to tip your cap to Frank Reich for sure, no doubt.
Also, kicking off at 1 o'clock on Sunday, up to Orchard Park we go next. The Bills and the Patriots, a battle of 2-3-0 teams, as Buffalo is a 7-point home dog to New England. You know, as you would expect, because it's just a healthy respect for what the Patriots are defensively and offensively, even now without Antonio Brown, and we know the retirement of Rob Gronkowski. Kind of a game where you're a measuring stick game early here for the Buffalo Bills. I mean, it is going to be some atmosphere, Taz. You know that better than anybody. Yeah. Bills Mafia is going to be celebrating. There'll be tables on fire. People fornicating in the parking lot.
Some vomiting happening also.
There'll be
someplace.
People passed out drunk
yes.
in the parking lot. I mean, there will be a lot going on before the game, and I'm sure afterward as well, as the Bills get set to play an important game against New England.
Yes. That parking lot. A lot of a scene is used. That happens during the game, too, actually.
Oh, no, I'm sure.
Yeah, the ones that can't get in, they just do all that stuff in the parking lot.
No question.
It's true. I'm nervous as a Bills fan about this, obviously. We've never played the Pats well. And this Patriots team, this defense this year, I don't know. It just looks, every year it gets better and better. And, you know, you got Belichick himself running this defense. Brady hasn't missed a step. You know, the weapons are galore. Edelman will be clutch at some points here and there. Sony Michel will run the ball well. The thing is, the Buffalo Bills have a really good defense and a good pass defense, too. It'll be interesting. I do think the Bills will more than once force Tom Brady out of that pocket, because that's the key with Brady, as you know. You want to get him out of that pocket. You want to get him outside the tackles. You want to get him moving. Once he gets moving, he's doomed. So you need to have good pass coverage defensively with your safeties and your cornerbacks. Hopefully that can happen. You know, I do think you got to try to run the ball well if you're the Bills. Hopefully we can do that, you know, because you want time of possession. You want to keep the ball out of Brady's hands. It sounds simple, but it's hard. Josh Allen, hopefully he doesn't turn the ball over against this stout, amazing defense that Belichick has. And Frank Gore maybe could have a day running the rock and eat up some time. You know, John Brown, hell of a receiver, as is Zay Jones for the Bills. I don't expect much out of them. I don't expect much out of the throwing game from the Buffalo Bills. That's why I'm hoping they run the ball more to avoid picking the ball off. Defensively, I do think that they could do a good job, the Bills, against the Pats. I do, but you got to try and eat up time of possession if you're the Buffalo Bills, and that's why you got to run the ball.
Yeah, and you know, and I think the Bills defense could have some success against that Patriot offense.
Yeah.
You know, I just don't trust Allen not making a key turnover.
I know.
You know, they had the game in command a week ago against the Cincinnati Bengals, up 14-0. Blink of an eye, all of a sudden it was anybody's football game.
Yeah.
In the second half, and I think there'll be stretches of this game where the Bills play well. It's just a matter of when you don't have any kind of dog in the fight, and I don't. You do, being a big Bills fan right. that you are. I just trust New England, obviously, more than I trust Buffalo Bills.
Yeah,
and I look at the scenario of Belichick and Brady offensively just doing enough to find a way to survive that game. The Bills historically have not played well against the Patriots.
Right.
So I'm tempted to take the 6.5 or 7. I think it's at 7 now. It's up to 7.5 at one point in time.
Yeah.
So I'm tempted to take the touchdown. However, I feel like it's one of those games where if I take the points, I'll be regretting it in the fourth quarter, because I think maybe the Buffalo Bills show some of those. You know, they easily should have lost to the Jets. They came back. The Jets were terrible in the second half. And the Bills deserve credit for coming back in that game. I just think the Pats are a little bit better of a football team right now. Not taking anything away from 3-0 Buffalo, though.
Yeah, no, I think that it's tough for me to say, but I agree. I do think the Pats are a better team also than the Bills. And but I do think that home field advantage will help. And I'm hoping, and I'm confident, but I'm hopeful that the defensive backs, okay, and they're talented as hell. For the Bills, can shut down Tom Brady or prevent Tom Brady from having a field day. You know, Micah Hyde, Tre'Davious White, these guys are tremendous D-backs. Levi Wallace, these guys are players, man. And it's not going to be that easy for Tom Brady. These guys, that it's a really good defensive backfield. It really is. And you got a rookie there, Ned Oliver. You remember we talked a lot about him going to, coming out of the draft, coming out. You know, he is doing a great job as a starting defensive tackle there. Jerry Hughes and Lorenzo Alexander as veterans. They're not rookies. They're still playing great football. And Edmonds is a hell of a middle linebacker with Matt Milano. So defensively, I'm just telling you, they're going to get after Brady. They are going to get, and they're going to hit him.
Yeah.
They're going to hit him a lot.
It's going to be a fun one. Yeah. I'm looking forward to that. Hit
I could talk about this one all day, bro.
I know. All well, you're a Bills fan. I would just hope so.
I'll keep going and going.
I would hope you could. The Ravens entertain the Cleveland Browns. You know, a lot of history in this one, obviously, with Baltimore Ravens being the former Cleveland Browns when they were moved to from Cleveland to Baltimore by their former owner, Art Modell. The Browns, obviously, back in the National Football League for quite some time here. They're a 1-2 team. Baltimore 2-1. Ravens coming off a road loss against Kansas City. Baltimore coming off the Browns coming off a home loss against the Los Angeles Rams last Sunday night. Taz, intriguing when you look at this.
Yeah.
You know, Lamar Jackson and that new aerial attack, and he says he'd rather throw it than run it for the Baltimore Ravens. Ingram has looked good throwing the football. You've seen some cracks in that secondary for the Baltimore Ravens as well. We know this was the final game. Remember last year, regular season, if the Ravens beat, if the Browns beat the Ravens, the Steelers would have made it to the postseason. Interception by C.J. Mosley ended that. Now currently dealing with a groin injury with the New York Jets. So we get this game early down in Baltimore, Taz. 1 o'clock kickoff. I think it's a fascinating game for Cleveland because they're 1-2. You don't want to be 1-3. We saw a desperate Philadelphia team go into Green Bay and find a way to win last night. This has to be a desperate Brown team on Sunday afternoon.
I agree. And you know the deal, right? The Browns, Ravens, they're always good games, like you're saying. But listen, here's the thing. You got two young quarterbacks, two really good quarterbacks. It's a hell of a matchup. Two really good running backs in Chubb for the Browns battling against Ingram. Not against, but, you know, for the Ravens. So you're going to get that. You know, this star power all over the place with both these teams. This is going to be a fun game, and this is tough. I'm going to have to go back and forth watching this game and the Pats-Bills game.
Oh, you're going to be locked in.
I'll be locked in. Pats-Bills.
Yeah. I mean, come on.
I will be.
I don't think you're the right audience would expect anything else. I mean, it's 2-3-0 teams. I don't think you're going to be bouncing back and forth to go watch Browns and Ravens when you got a battle of undefeated teams up there in Orchard Park.
You know what I'm worried about, though, man? I'm worried about by, like, the second quarter, the Pats are up, like, 21.
Well, then you could be off the game.
Then I'm clicking off.
Yeah, then you can move on.
Miserable.
Then you can move on. And this could be one
of the
games.
Then I'll watch Tony Romo play golf.
Well, that's it. Well, yeah, exactly. At that stage, yes, you probably would be on the links at that stage. But I think with this one, it's intriguing because you've seen such sloppy and poor play from the Browns. Can they clean it up here? You know, from a Freddie Kitchens perspective, and now they go on the road against a team that you know is well coached by John Harbaugh. You know they're going to play a relatively clean game. Lamar Jackson has turned a corner throwing it. Kind of fascinating, intriguing, because kind of the Lamar Jackson has taken on the role that Baker Mayfield had a year ago, where people are now all of a sudden Lamar Jackson believers and rooting for Lamar Jackson to be successful. And Mayfield had all of that push a year ago and has got none of that push now. Speaking of a guy that's got push, how about Daniel Jones with the Giants, who's an absolute star in New York, whether you want to call him Danny Dimes or the Duke. And you know, when he was asked about the nickname of Danny Dimes, he said, "I've heard worse." So not exactly a glowing endorsement for that nickname, Taz. His teammates do call him DJ. I think Giant fans could just call him good and hope and hopeful for what he can provide for the future for this Giant organization. And the Giants could be staring themselves at 2-2 after the first four games because this is a very winnable game. They're home. They're a field goal favorite. The Redskins look like a lost franchise. I think the Redskins can move it on that Giant defense. I think they'll be able to score some points. Keenum back at practice after dealing with a little bit of a foot issue, which caused him to miss the practice middle part of the week, Taz, coming off that what was a poor performance against the Chicago Bears in which he was turning the football over left and right. But I think the Giants get themselves to 2-2 on Sunday. I don't think Jones plays as well as he did in Tampa, but I think he plays pretty well nonetheless.
Yeah, I think he does too. I mean, it's a good opportunity against a team that's really down and out right now in the 0-3, your Redskins, unfortunately for them. And history shows these are always, I remember I said this earlier in the week here on our show, I always loved Redskin-Giant games, always. Always great NFC matchups. When I was younger, I was always watching these games, always great. But anyway, I do think Daniel Jones can definitely have a great game here. It'll be interesting to see what happens. Will they end up, will they make that quarterback change at some point? If the Giants are winning going into halftime, you know, let's say by a couple of touchdowns for argument's sake, let's say that's happening. You know, do the Washington Redskins make that move and go with the rookie out of Ohio State? That'll be interesting to watch.
It will be. You know? I mean, that's all you got if you're a Skins fan right now, very depressing, Tess.
Would you be happy if they did that, if they're losing going to halftime like bad, and then they make the move?
I think this would be a softer landing spot, Tess, because the Giants don't have much of a pass
rush.
Defense is terrible. Right. I wouldn't want to throw them second half against Chicago, which I said earlier in the week.
I was ready to throw them in.
I know. And Tess, you know, we talked about Cam Newton a lot, and, you know, he's out again this week as the Panthers are taking on the Texans. There seems to be growing momentum that Kyle Allen, their quarterback, has got real opportunity here, that maybe the Panthers are a little frustrated with Cam Newton, that they might have been willing to not necessarily just with the attitude or that he's a bad guy, anything like that, just the fact that he's been so beaten up, that they might be, you know, they might be open to the idea that Kyle Allen, if he continues to play very, very well, that when Newton is, quote-unquote, 100% healthy, that they might have a decision to make if Allen plays really well. That maybe Newton, all of a sudden, when he's healthy, if Allen now, Allen has got to play well, isn't all of a sudden just going to get his starting job back.
Yeah, and then you know.
Which would be surprising.
It would be.
Because Newton's
a massive star. Yeah, he's a massive star, and all he's done for the organization. And I would, you know, I gotta tell you, if that happens, I'd be a little surprised, but I think you're right. That could happen. And if that did happen, where Kyle Allen was the guy, once Cam comes back and he's just a starter, Kyle Allen, that would go for this year one of the most surprising stories. The most surprising story is the whole Antonio Brown stuff, how that ended. But then I would say, from a playing perspective and stuff like that, I would say this. If this happens with the Carolina Panthers and this kid Kyle Allen ends up taking the job literally from Cam Newton, that would be a shocker. But it seems like it could be a reality, too.
Well, it could be, because there seems to be growing frustration down in Carolina as the Panthers are on the road to take on the Texans this weekend. We'll see how Kyle Allen plays after last week's uber-successful debut out there in Arizona. Pay-Per-View presents a champion versus champion showdown when Errol the Truth Spence Jr. takes on Showtime Sean Porter in a world championship unification bout at the Staples Center out of Los Angeles this Saturday night. Undefeated Texas bred southpaw and 2012 U.S. Olympian Errol Spence Jr. has become one of boxing's top stars, making quick work of most of his opponents in his rise to becoming a 147-pound world champion. Spence packs a lot of power, has shown a real knack for inflicting early damage and then pouncing, putting his opponents away from before some fans have even taken their seats. Relentless in the ring, high-energy welterweight world champion Sean Porter brings the heat with an intensely physical style. Expect unrelenting passion and nonstop physical fireworks when this 147-pounder Sean Porter climbs into the ring. Trained by his father, Porter compiled 276 wins as a standout amateur before becoming a world champion as a professional. So don't miss Spence Jr. versus Porter. The excitement begins this Saturday, 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific. Order now. Do it now. Live on pay-per-view. Also available on the Fox Sports app.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line. You know what it is, 855-212-4227. Entrenched in that brain is brought to you by Geico. Great news, quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on your car insurance. We'll mix a little baseball into the convo here.
Yeah, it's a football Friday, though.
Yeah, but there's some interesting storylines with baseball. Got to get into. Want to get your thoughts on. Yes. We'll hit a couple quick hitters. One involving your team as well that you root for.
My team's
home. I know they're home, but that's intriguing. They're staying home. They are staying home. And they're dispersing on vacation.
You know,
correct.
Home.
No, I know what
City
you meant.
Field, but yeah.
What's going on, Bogus? How are you?
Oh, wow. Moose.
Taz.
Hello.
How are you, buddy?
Hello.
I like queso.
Really
just, yeah, he does.
nerdy.
What's up there?
Hello, I got thrown off by Pete liking queso.
Because you can't can't just do your intro.
And just go.
Yeah, you know, this is always on me.
Just
right?
go. Yeah, exactly. Just go. Just work. Just work. Be distracted.
Sorry, guys.
Just talk.
So back and forth.
Regardless of what's played.
Back and forth.
Gas, belching, doesn't matter. Just go.
Just keep going.
I like meat.
I'm sure you do, Pete. I'm sure you do.
You guys good?
Well, that was a good one.
Back and forth they went last night at Lambeau Field.
It is first and goal at the 2. Wentz under center. Howard the single setback. Wentz gives to Howard. Howard spins. He's in. Touchdown. Eagles regain the lead.
Too strong.
Mike Quick, Merrill Reese, Eagles radio. Second rushing score. Third TD of the night for running back Jordan Howard. It put his Eagles back on top after they lost an 8-point lead. After they fell behind initially 10-0, this 7-point lead survived the final 14 minutes of Thursday Night Football, but barely. Aaron Rodgers' pass from the 2-yard line deflected by corner Craig James. Picked off by linebacker Nigel Bradham in the end zone with 25 seconds to go.
I have a question. Do you normally type up your update? Like, be honest. We're transparent here. We pull back the curtain every day on Taz and the Moose. Do you just memorize everything, or do you sit and like type it up? Like,
no, what it's typed right in front of me, almost word for word.
Do you have an assistant does it for you?
Yes, this place allows for me to have an assistant.
So you're typing.
Because there's just money floating everywhere.
So
yeah.
You type this up. So when you're done doing your segment on this show,
yeah.
You have to go then into your big office, and you have to type up another one.
I dictate, and my typing staff prepares my next update.
Wow.
Yes.
Well, I always see you working. You're always grinding away. Okay. I was just wondering.
Well done.
Yeah.
All right. So after back-to-back close losses, Carson Wentz happy to escape this one last night.
Going 2-2 is a heck of a lot better than being 1-3. Thursday night game on the road in Lambeau. A lot of things, you know, working against us this week. But to come in here and fight to the end, the defense coming up big at the end, a huge win for us.
Wentz threw for 3 scores, no turnovers, 2 touchdowns for Aaron Rodgers. That interception and a lost fumble, his team leaves the land of the unbeaten. Melvin Gordon ended his 66-day holdout yesterday. Chargers head coach Anthony Lynn said it'd be doubtful Gordon plays on Sunday in Miami, but when he's ready, Gordon will be their number one running back. Cowboys wideout Amari Cooper able to practice a bit yesterday after an MRI showed no major issues with his ankle. Cooper expected to play on Sunday against the Saints. Colts wideout T.Y. Hilton yet to practice this week. He has a quad injury.
Keith really didn't know.
Yeah, just push through that one.
Yeah,
push through. Oakland A's, are you testing me now? The Oakland A's are almost in the playoffs.
Right-handed pitcher, right-handed hitter. It's on the way, and here it is. A fly ball hit the deep right center field. Smith going back. Center fielder at the track. To the wall, leaping at the wall, and it's gone. And Chapman has done it again. He's homered in back-to-back games, and the Athletics take a 3-0 lead.
Why does it sound like that? Like, what is it? It sounds like a...
That there are fans
like
there?
It's underwater.
Right-handed pitcher, right-handed hitter. It's on the...
It's an online recording.
Oh, that's why.
It's a stream recording.
Gotcha.
It's not a direct connect to the...
It's a digital recording.
Correct.
Right. Not a broadcast.
Correct.
Uh-huh. At least someone knows the answer. Thank you, Moose.
I didn't notice what you're talking about. I'm sorry.
Well, it's a simple question. Moose got
you have to have a trained ear, Pokish. Continue.
Ken Korak on A's Radio. Oakland, a 3-1 win in Seattle. Their magic number for a wild card is down to 1. Meanwhile, the Indians now 2 games behind the Rays with 3 to go for the other wild card spot. Cleveland, an 8-0 loss at the White Sox. The Angels outlasted the Astros 4-3-12, preventing Houston from clinching home field through the ALCS. And then in the afternoon yesterday, guys, Taz, I'm sure you saw this. The Rangers made sure lefty Mike Minor got his 200th strikeout. They went as far as letting a foul pop drop in the ninth inning so Minor could go back at that batter. Right. Struck him out, by the way, on a pitch that was not in the strike zone. Luckily, C.B. Buckner was the home plate umpire yesterday. So Minor got his 200th strikeout. After the game, Pete Abraham, who covers, I think, the Red Sox, National Baseball, tweeted that this like almost shouldn't count. There should be an asterisk. And Mike Minor responded, "Hey, Pete, ask me if I care."
Oh,
so Minor doesn't matter. History doesn't matter. He got his 200 strikeout.
He did.
But they literally yelled, the catcher yelled at the first baseman who was going down the line, "Don't catch it."
Oh, good for him.
And he dropped and he
his 200th K.
Unbelievable.
Very nice.
Yeah,
and I'm done.
Yeah.
Thank you,
I'm going to go type more.
That's a little
We're looking forward to you later. Yeah, that's a little too much.
What's that? Is 200 strikeouts really that important?
I think it's important. I think when you hit 200 Ks.
That was my first thought. Like, it's not a historical one. It's not like
but for him it
for
is.
Franchise record. I don't know. Like, I'm never going to know that Mike Minor had 200 Ks.
No, no, but I think when you look I think there's a number. When you hit 200 strikeouts, obviously 300 Ks in a season for a starting pitcher is obscene, and you've seen guys be able to hit that. But I think for a starter, when you hit 200 Ks, it's an important moment.
When you get to 500 Ks, I'm impressed.
Nobody strikes out 500 guys.
Is Cy Young still pitching?
In a season?
In the dead ball era?
I'll be impressed. 500 Ks.
Well, you make 45 starts, you get back to me.
You know what? We're in agreement. I would be impressed as well.
See, there you go.
We finally found common ground.
I think we've found common ground. I agree with you. If someone hits 500 Ks, I'll be mightily impressed.
So 200 Ks is a milestone. That's what we're all
about. Personal milestone.
Well, he had a good year. Minor had a good year.
He did.
You know? He did. Throwing the baseball.
The drop pop up thing, it doesn't bother me that much. It is lame, but it doesn't bother me that much. The guy still had 200 Ks. That's how you gotta look at it.
Well, I'm not gonna die on the hill on it, but it is lame.
It is lame.
It really is.
Don't catch it.
Well, right, exactly.
That's tremendous.
And lets it drop. Thank you, Andrew. Well done. See you next time.
Wow, we'll see you later, bud.
Hey, you guys, can't wait.
Great seeing you, buddy.
You know, speaking of lame, so the Cubs, right? Yeah. Joe Maddon's days probably as manager with the Cubs. His contract is up after the year. A lot of people think that their former catcher, Derek Ross, is going to be the next manager of the Chicago Cubs. I know that's a job that Joe Girardi probably has dreamed about, being a Chicago guy, former Yankee and Marlin manager. But it seems like kind of Ross has got the inside run to be the next Cubs manager. So the Cubs are riding this god-awful losing streak to close out the year, to the point where Rizzo comes back off a serious ankle injury early, taking cortisone shots in his ankle in order to get back on the field. Still to no avail, the losing streak did continue, Taz, and they get eliminated from postseason contention. So, along with your Mets.
Yeah.
Now, the team that jumped them was the Milwaukee Brewers, who have been steamrolling down the stretch, won again yesterday, and they've got a division to play for, right? So, the Joe Maddon was asked the question as they get set. They wrapped up their series against the Pirates. They get set to take on the St. Louis Cardinals this weekend, right?
Right.
And the Brewers need the Cardinals to lose some games because they're trying to catch them for that division. So Maddon was asked about about potential complaints about the lineup that he puts together for the Chicago Cubs, right? Bryant is out. Javier Baez are both out due to injuries, right? He said, we'll put a good team out there regardless. Now, of course, the Brewers are going to blank. Of course they are. I get it. Quite frankly, there are certain things that I don't give a blank about. That would be one of them.
Oh, my God. Wow. Yeah.
So we tried to get the audio. There was no audio. This was, I believe, an interview he did with the Chicago Tribune, Taz. Now, if you're Joe Maddon, in terms of competitive balance and in terms of you've got nothing to play for, this might be your last 3 days as Cub manager.
Right,
we talked about the drop pop-up and allowing Minor to get 200 strikeouts. Don't you owe it a little bit to maybe not play all your bench guys, as it might not be a meaningful game for you, but it's a meaningful game for somebody else?
Yeah, I understand that. Look, he's
roll all the AAA guys out there.
He's getting them game reps, I guess. Yeah, no, I know what you're saying. I mean, look, he's a veteran skipper, veteran manager, you know, and been very successful, as we all know. And for him to make it clear that he don't give a rat's ass what the Brewers fans think of his lineup. Look, you know, he's not there to appease anybody except the people he works for and his team, but.
There's an argument to be made. There's an argument you can go one way and say, well, the Brewers could have done more.
Right.
And put themselves in a better position and could have won more baseball games. Yep. And they have no one to blame but themselves. They can't ask anybody else to do them favors. And then the other argument to be made is, well, if you're a team, you still have games to play. People are still showing up to the ballpark and paying money to watch these games. You know, if you're the Cubs, are you going to put a competitive team out there? I'm not saying the other guys can't win, but you're at a severe disadvantage already with no Bryant, no Baez, Rizzo dealing with the ankle injury. Now are you going to completely – those three guys are out of the lineup. Now are you going to take a scenario here where then you're not going to play a Schwarber, a Hayward, and the other stars that are on that Cubs lineup?
Yeah.
Because then you're really giving yourself no chance to win the game.
Right. You're right, and I get the point of the Milwaukee fan, of the Brewer fan. You know, of course, they want Maddon to – they would love it for him to spoil the Cardinals season. Absolutely. But if you're Joe Maddon, aren't you going to kind of feel like him? Are you going to give a rat's ass what the Brewers fans think?
No, you're not.
You know?
You're right. You're going to have a sip of that red wine like he likes to drink and enjoy
fancy
yourself an evening and close out the year with three games out in St. Louis against the Cardinals. Now, speaking of records, Taz, you're Pete Alonso.
Yes.
For the Mets, who's a huge, huge, ginormic star, if that's a word, in Major League
Polar
Baseball.
Bear.
Right,
Polar
that's
Bear
exactly
Jones.
Right. He's got 51 home runs. He's one off the mark of Aaron Judge's single-season rookie home run mark of 52, which he set a couple of years back with the New York Yankees. Now, Mickey Callaway yesterday said that it is conceivable that they might hit Pete Alonso leadoff in order for him to get more at-bats to get the record.
That bothers you?
Oh, Taz, come on. I mean, come on. I mean, really, come on. Come on, Taz. You can't. Listen, I hope he gets the record. I really don't care. Man. It doesn't. You can't be doing that. You can't be doing that. You can't be all of a sudden changing your lineup and having Pete Alonso so you can try and get five at-bats in a game.
With all his speed, he's a leadoff guy.
Come on, Taz. You can't be doing that. I know you want Alonso to get the record. I think that's a little lame. You admit it. It's a little lame. I mean, they've had conversations about putting him lead off to get more at bats. Come on.
Yeah, it's definitely lame. No, I agree. I mean, I want to see him get the record. Obviously, I do as a Met fan, but it is a little bit like weak, you know, have him bat lead off. I mean,
oh my God, what are we doing here? I mean, who cares about? I mean, I know it's important. Alonso's a massive star, but you're going to do that?
But let me ask you a question: is your biggest issue because he's pursuing Aaron Judge's rookie
home
run?
No, I just said I don't care.
Yeah, but I wanted to ask you again. I know you said you don't care, but are you being sincere?
I am being sincere. I think it's lame. I think if the Yankees did it, I think it would be even lamer. I think if somebody, I think you play the game out. Alonso's going to get four or five at bats in these games. They're taking on a Brave team that's wrapped up everything. I mean, they don't really have anything to play for.
Yeah.
Let's see if Alonso should be able to run into one or two home runs this weekend. He's got raw power.
So. Yeah.
Now he's in a 2-for-18 slump and didn't hit all that well against the Marlins. He did have one shot to get him to 51. Taz, he's one off the mark. But no, I'm not looking at it the case of, I just look at it, why would you, okay, how about this? If you thought about doing it, why come out and admit it?
Well, I wouldn't. Just, you're right.
If
just,
you actually,
just put
if
the lineup up.
If you and Jim Riggleman had the conversation, hey, what about having Pete Alonso hit and lead? Why would you ever let us know that you had that conversation?
I would not. Just put the lineup up or out early in the day. As you see it on the Twitter, that's why I grabbed the Mets lineup right away. And I'd be like, oh, wow, must be a typo. They got Alonso batting first.
I like
Kate really didn't know what to do.
Ah, see. What's that?
I like his speed at the top.
Yes, I'm saying.
Good ideas.
He's athletic enough, Moose, to pull the bear. Let him bat. Maybe to lay a bunt. Yeah, you know, get on. You know,
right. That's exactly.
Steal second. You know?
I get it.
He's got all that speed.
Right. Completely changed the dynamic of the game. And then the other thing, Taz, with baseball quickly here, Manfred, the commissioner, we've talked about the home runs. Speaking of home runs, said in the offseason, not now. They will adjust the baseball in the offseason. You've had home runs that in AAA this year, they used the major league ball. Home runs went up by 50%. It's been a record-breaking year for home runs this year. I think the number is around 6,500 home runs that have been hit by major league teams this year, Taz. Mm. So don't expect the same ball next year, this year. The home runs have been astronomical. It's been too much for me. I like the home run. There have been guys that have been able to take advantage of it. But when you have as many guys as you've had across baseball hitting 30-plus home runs, don't you think it's a little bit too much of a good thing?
Yeah, this is why the Mets are going to bat Pete Alonso leadoff, because you got to get those home runs now while the ball's juiced.
Put you on a tee. It's got some college picks for you. That comes your way next, as we are amazingly enough at week 5 of the college football season. We'll get into that next. It's Taz and Moose on a busy Friday morning right here, CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
Ah, yes, week 5. Taz, week 5 college football.
Oh, it's
flying.
Oh, yeah.
It is flying.
It really is.
You got a full slate. You had a nice game last night between Navy and Memphis, and a little Thursday night action as well. If you decide not to watch the NFL game, that went the Eagles' way. Last week, Taz had a great week. 3-0 so far this year, 8-3-1. I was 1-2 a week ago. Back to the 500 mark as I am 6-6 on the season. Taz got a 2.5 game lead. Got a rally here.
I'd like to say, I mean, I don't think there's enough, just humbly speaking, not a big enough deal made out of what you just said. How could I? I mean, my stuff's been great.
Well, we missed the firework display. It was going to come out.
Right. Well, you mentioned the Garucci brothers the other day. It'd be a great time to have them here. I mean,
no doubt. I mean, light them up in the studio. Yeah.
Why'd the music stop? If we're doing a college football gimmick, we should be.
Well, we've got a billboard we're going to hit.
Oh, that's probably the reason why. Okay. Back up. Back all that up. Mike, clean that up after the podcast.
Already done.
Thing,
but congratulations. Great week.
Thank you.
You nailed it. A 3-0, a perfect week. Let's see if you can keep it going. I got a rally here a little bit. Let's get to it. Week 5 college football picks.
Oh, the Taz and Moose picks are for fun only. This is not for gambling purposes, just some chuckles and a good time. Enjoy the Taz and Moose picks now. Listen irresponsibly.
There's so many bits on the show.
It's now time for the Taz and Moose College Football Picks. The three picks you need to know.
You're right. I don't know what to say. It's chair shots.
No, it's all
so right. I can say. I forgot. I'm like, what the hell? Where's our open?
Yeah, so dealer's choice, Taz. Right. Where do you want to go? You want to lead or you want me to lead?
Oh, jeez.
You got the lead. Where do you want to go? You want me to go first?
Let me
go first.
Listen, let me kick this thing off.
You kick it off. Take it away, buddy.
We're going to go a little Penn State, Maryland. Penn State, the Nittany Lions going on the road. Number 12 Nittany Lions to play the Terps. Okay, Penn State, here's the deal. Flat out. Okay, I'm going to take the Terps. Maryland announced yesterday it's a sellout. I've been to that stadium. That's a big building. It's a big stadium. And those people, the student body and the fans of the Terps are going to be there in full effect. The Terps are plus 6.5. Maryland is plus 6.5. Penn State will not cover, Moose. I'm telling you right now, I'm smelling me a little bit of an upset here.
There you go.
Not only do I think the Terps, not only do I think Penn State's not going to cover, but I think Maryland's going to flat out outright, take two, beat them. How's that?
Nice.
So Penn State won't cover. I'll take the Terps at home plus 6.5.
Yes, but you would take Maryland on the money line, folks, for everyone playing at home. You like Maryland to win the game outright.
I do.
And you should get a pretty good number at that. All right, I'm going to start with a night game tomorrow night down in South Carolina. And I'm going to take the Gamecocks, and I'm going to lay the 2.5 as Kentucky comes to town. Back-to-back road games for the Wildcats here in the for them. Not necessarily a good thing. I look at this game, and what I think about is desperation. South Carolina coming off a loss last week against Missouri. They are desperate for a victory. Will Muschamp needs victories. Freshman quarterback Ryan Helinski deal with a little bit of an elbow, but worked it out over the course of this week in practice. And Muschamp said the other day they threw the ball very, very well. And I think South Carolina's pass defense has been terrible. However, you look at it, the Kentucky starting quarterback is done for the year. Backup, dealing a little bit of injury as well. He's been terrible throwing the football. I don't think Kentucky can take care of that. And you look at Kentucky's defense, has had issues getting teams off of the football field. You look at it, last two opponents they went up against were 10 of 18 on third down conversions. Give me South Carolina in a tight game, lay 2.5 tomorrow night. At 7:30, as that game gets kicked, that's pick number one.
All right. Sounds good. We're going to do a little bit. We're going to go down to, where are we going to go? We're going to go down to, out to, I should say, not down to. We're going to go out to South Bend, Indiana for the Irish, the number 10 Notre Dame Fighting Irish, as they host a 4-0, Moose, you heard me correct, a 4-0 UVA, University of Virginia Cavaliers. Cavalier team that's really strong this year. Here's the thing, okay, like I said, UVA is 4-0, and they are plus 12.5. Check this out. Irish, Ian Book led Irish, okay, the quarterback. Irish will cover at home. They're going to give UVA their first loss. So I like the Irish covered at home, even though it's a big margin there to a good UVA ACC team in the Cavaliers, Virginia Cavaliers. I like the Irish to cover at home.
All right.
12.5, Moose, if I didn't
mention. 12.5, so you like the Irish laying 12.5 against UVA. That's pick two for Taz. Pick two for me.
You don't like that pick?
I do like that pick.
All right.
I was done with Notre Dame last week and came back to bite me, but I do like Notre Dame. They showed themselves well last week down in Athens against Georgia, so I'm with you on that pick. I'm going to go to the SEC. Also a night game tomorrow night. Seventh-ranked Auburn. Down on the plains, entertaining the Mississippi State Bulldogs. I'm going to take the Tigers, and I'm going to lay the 10. These two teams have not played each other since 2015. For the last five times that these two programs have met up, and I understand the personnel has changed in college football, but it have been double-digit margins one way or another. Whitlow run the football, Bo Nix. You look at this game, to me it comes down to third down efficiency. Mississippi State has struggled in that department as well, getting teams off the field. They've had a little bit of an issue at quarterback, too. Auburn, Taz, you look at it, you know, they've got a very, very difficult schedule. You know, if they were able to work their way through that schedule, you know, that comeback victory against against Oregon the opening week, Bo Nix has been very, very good. You know, I just think it's just too much for Mississippi State to stay with Auburn. Jordan Hare is going to be rocking on Saturday night. I'm going to take Auburn. I'm going to lay the 10. I think they win this game going away. Bo Nix has a game. They run the football well, and that Auburn defense does a good job with that Mississippi State offense. Give me Auburn laying 10. That's pick two for me.
I got to tell you, Miss, I like that pick. I like that pick. Great breakdown of your viewpoint on that, too. Good job right there. Truth be told, you know this, Miss. There's not a plethora of great games this weekend.
No, there's not.
Really not. One of the better games I do think potentially could be a Big Ten matchup between the Ohio State Buckeyes against the Nebraska Cornhuskers. This game is at Tom Osborne Field right there in Lincoln, Nebraska. I've been there. Not for a game. I've been to that stadium, but it was empty. I always rooted for Nebraska, and that place is it's a cool place to be. I was in there. Was it empty? It was really odd. We were wrestling in Lincoln, and
it's like awesome. I went to school with somebody up in Syracuse that was from Nebraska. Grew up going to Nebraska games and said game days at Nebraska, and this during their heyday, obviously.
Right.
There's nothing like it because it's like a sea of red as the fans are going into the stadium.
Yeah, it's like another small little city within the city of Lincoln. So here's the thing, though. Like, look, Nebraska's 3-1 right now. Ohio State, they come in ranked number 5 in the country. They're 4-0. Listen, the black shirts, the black shirt defense, that's the defense for those that don't know of Nebraska. The black shirts need to step up big. Big, big home dog here for Nebraska. They're plus 17, Moose. Plus 17. A lot of people think that Ohio State's going to blow their doors off at home. Ohio State comes in 4-0. Nebraska's 3-1. I'm going to take the home dog. I'm going to take Nebraska plus 17. I know that's probably not a lot of people's choice on that. That's my deal on that. I like the Huskers in this one. This could be if Scott Frost, new head coach there of Nebraska, former quarterback in Nebraska, if he could get the victory there, Moose, at home.
Oh, that'd be huge.
That'd be such a statement victory for him over the Ohio State Buckeyes, Ryan Day Jones, the whole deal. That would be huge. That would be huge. So,
but you like Nebraska not to cover, not to win?
Correct.
Or you think Nebraska's got a shot in the fourth quarter to win the game, or you think
Okay. Ohio State's going to win the game. I just think plus 17 at home is a lot to a place that's going to be rabid. So I'm going to take the points, and I'm going to take Nebraska.
I like that one. I like that
one. That's what we do here on Taz. We pick against the spread. That's what I was told.
No, I understand. All right, you like Maryland to win the game outright. I was wondering if you were going to...
That's a different game, Maryland.
No.
I didn't know what you're talking about.
I was wondering if you like Nebraska to actually win the game outright.
Oh, that's why you mentioned Maryland.
Well.
I jumped you.
Yes.
Sorry.
Yes, I know it's a different game. Yes, thank you, Taz. I was following along.
So pouncing. Thank you. So pouncing.
I know. Jeez.
No, it's a different game.
Yes,
thank
you, Taz.
I'm just trying to make a point.
So I had an issue going around the landscape trying to find another game that I like.
I don't normally do this. I want to know your thoughts on that game. Do you like... Put a little wager on a game.
Yeah, if I were to play that game, I'd take Nebraska plus the points.
You feel it's a lot in that stadium, Memorial Stadium. Yeah, that's what I thought too.
Yeah,
all right.
I would agree with you. Yeah, the war chant. Let's hear it. So I had an issue. I had an issue, Taz, going around college football trying to find my third game. Right.
Right.
And I landed on a team that I never thought I would pick. And that's this squad. I landed on Florida State. And I'm going to lay the 6.5 as they are taking on North Carolina State. Now, listen, we know that Taggart's got a lot of issues, and he might not be the coach of Florida State after the season, right? It's not gone well, that Taggart regime down there. Hornibrook, the former Wisconsin Badger, he's completing nearly 75% of his passes. If you've not seen him, Akers, the tailback for Florida State, has been very, very good. The defense for Florida State is not. Now, the issue I have for North Carolina State, Taz, is I don't think the Wolfpack can take advantage of how bad that Florida State defense is. So I'm going to take Hornibrook, give me Akers running the football. I'm going to take the Seminoles, lay in the 6.5. I had an issue finding that third game for our pick selection. I like it. I don't love it, but I'm going to take the Noles nonetheless. That's pick three for me.
All right, all right. And you know what? It's interesting. Two things about Hornibrook. James Blackman was a starter initially. He might be injured or something.
Yep.
Either that or Hornibrook when they transferred ended up taking over that starting job. I find also interesting that you had your own custom war chant, Florida State, during your pick. Well, that's interesting.
Well, I went to it. I asked if we had it.
All right.
I see what we're doing now.
Uh-huh.
What do you mean? You can go to it.
I guess that's what we do now. We need custom music.
No, we don't need custom. It's a great chant.
All right.
The Florida State fan, feel bad for them. They stink.
I did say
CBS Sports Radio.